Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Jake Gutierrez with Sam Mellinger in studio. A very chilly studio that I can do nothing about. I pushed several buttons. I actually lit a fire in here, and that didn't work, and Jake yelled at me. But Nate is not having the same issues that we are. He is in, where are you at? Puget Sound? Is that, what did you?
Yeah. I'm in the Hudson Bay.
Right? I thought he was in Napa.
I don't know where he is. Are you in wine country?
No, I'm not in wine country.
Well,
I mean,
I can
whine about some things right now if you want. Well, I'm in Santa Monica.
Like the Everclear album?
Which is...
Let's just get to it right now.
Is that the name of the album?
Sam Mellinger wants to know what the hell happened to Sporting last night. He is not happy.
They got Zeusied.
Yeah, that was bad.
Sam, your thoughts, and then we'll get right from the horse's mouth, Nate Piketty.
Just seemed like they got worn down.
Peter Vermees, don't tell him that.
Anything. And, you know, Espinosa, that didn't help. Kind of inevitable, too. They had, I think, I wasn't keeping close count, but I think it was 24 yellow cards.
Five in the first 30 minutes or something like that.
He was, I read some of the quotes, and I think we're going to play some sound a little bit later, but Peter Vermees was not on board with the idea that Sporting Kansas City was fatigued down the stretch. He did not like that idea. Does that shock you at all? he was not open to that idea. Nate, can you back me up on that? Didn't seem like he was willing to hear that one, right?
No, I don't think Peter's, you know, I don't think that flies with Peter very much. You know, it was interesting, guys. We were all sitting down here kind of like talking about, okay, what lineup is Peter going to put out there against LAFC? Because he's in this tough spot, right, where the team just played at altitude in Mexico on Thursday. They got a big win. They're advancing to the next round. I mean, we fly to Panama. It's a 3,000-mile flight. We go through three time zones today. I think it's about a 6.5-hour flight. I mean, it's a charter flight. It's good, but I'm not complaining at all.
Sounds like you are.
But he's got to balance that and then trying to get in, you know, advance in the next round of this tournament on Wednesday. So is he gonna play his quote unquote backups against LAFC? But it's the season opener against the team that a lot of people think it's going to be like between LAFC and Sporting for, you know, first place in the West, just like it was last year. So do you want to put your best foot forward in this game? And so a lot of people thought, well, maybe he's going to rotate the squad a bunch and play a bunch of guys who haven't played yet this season or haven't started yet this season in this LAFC game. And he went with the same 11 guys that played down in Toluca on Thursday. And, you know, I did my pregame interview with him yesterday, and I kind of asked him about it a little bit, you know, before the interview started. He said, well, why don't we talk about it in the interview? Because I want to explain in detail why we're doing this. And he gave like a 4-minute answer about all of the different factors that went into his decision to start the same 11 guys in this game. And you know, so here's something you'll probably enjoy, Stephen. You know, I don't even notice this. Every once in a while I'll get an email from somebody or a tweet, somebody asking me, when the players in soccer take their shirts off, it looks like they're wearing sports bras a lot of the time. And people ask me, what are those sports bra things the guys are wearing? Well, they have monitors that they wear in those you know, mesh, you know, undershirts that track their heart rate, track the distance that they cover on the field through the course of the game, how many sprints. They actually have like a, you know, a breakdown of what's technically makes a sprint. It's got to be so long and so fast or whatever. And they measure all that stuff every game. And Peter said, look, Luca, that game was so easy for the team because the other team had a red card and Sporting just dominated. Their players actually put in less work that day than on a normal training day, like a normal practice day. And they checked with each one of the players and they decided, you know, hey, look, we're going to start these guys. And then he told me, look, we're going to have to rotate the team a lot on Wednesday when we go down to Panama, because we can't play them three games in a row like this, but we think we can play them two games in a row like this. And they were about 20 seconds away from it working out, but 20 seconds too much, you know, left in the game, and it didn't work out. And now they got to go down to Panama and they'll probably have to rotate the squad a little bit.
All right, we have an issue here. Sam actually left in the middle of your answer, so I don't.
He's in the car. Is that too long of an answer?
He's in the car now.
I think they should get their money back.
Sam Mellinger, if you're listening, please come back. Oh, hey, there he is.
Hey, welcome back.
Hey, guys.
Boy, you're...
They need to get their money back on those bras.
That's quite a threat. So this is what Sam McDowell tweeted out. He said, asked Peter about fatigue. He said, fatigue did not play a factor in the game. Said last sequence was a lapse in concentration. And he said, at the end of the day, it had nothing to do with fatigue, Sam Mellinger.
I mean...
Nothing!
I would expect Peter to say that. And I don't say that like Peter doesn't know what he's talking about. I think Peter is the most successful coach that we have in the city in a lot of ways. But I just thought they looked tired, especially after they went down. I mean, it was, what was that, like 83rd minute, something like that, when Espinosa got the red, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And you're right, like the last thing you said, Nate, about, you know, you're 20 seconds away from it working out and at least getting a point. But you know what's weird? I felt like LAFC had the better play, but Sporting had the better chances. And I don't really don't feel like that happens that often in soccer. But that's the other thing, too. Like, when this happened, and this was a problem last year, right? You know, if they put away another chance or two, you know, we're not having this discussion at all.
So do you think fatigue was a factor? And Peter Vermees just does not want to admit that to the media? Or is he correct? It was lack of concentration. But if you're tired, then your concentration will suffer. And now Jake's...
I was always taught, and I was told by many coaches growing up, that when you get tired, the first thing to go is your mind. And if he's talking about mental lapses, I know these guys are professionals, but look, you're going to be fatigued when you go down a man. Everybody's going to have to work harder, and there's more stress put on everybody. That absolutely played a factor in that lapse. But look, it was a lapse. I mean, it was an utter brain fart. I mean, that last play on that free kick with a minute and a half left in stoppage time, that can't happen. And it happens, one of your most veteran players does it. I mean, Graham Zusi, that is an utter nightmare of a play. He just gave the ball back to LAFC, and they countered right off it. That's where they end up scoring that goal, right off that play. And that's something you sit on until the referee makes you come over and play that ball or gives you a yellow card. Or, you know, you sit there and you waste time. I mean, you're on the road. You're down a man. What are you doing? Graham Zusi, what are you doing? You know better. And I think that's what Peter Vermees is talking about. Because to your point, Sam, you're 20 seconds away, literally 20 seconds away from that being, okay, what a good result. But guess what? That 20 seconds is everything.
Yeah.
It's everything, and I think that's where Peter Vermees is going with, it wasn't about the fitness level, and it wasn't about being worn out. It was about an utter brain fart at the end of the game.
All right, Nate, before we move on to Big 12 basketball, what is next for Sporting?
Yeah, so we'll be packing up here in a couple of hours and heading down to Panama City, Panama. Team that Sporting is going to play on Wednesday night is called Independiente. This is really interesting, guys, too, because this is not like one of the big clubs in Panama. They were in the second division in the Panamanian League just like a couple of years ago, but they burst onto the scene. They're from a town called La Chorrera, which looks like it's about 20 miles or so outside of Panama City. Looks like we're staying in Panama City as a team, though, from what I gather. And it's going to be the third country and third time zone for Sporting in the span of a week. They'll play that game 7:00 Wednesday night. We'll have the broadcast here on Sports Radio 810. And then we fly home, and the home opener for MLS play for Sporting is on Sunday against Philadelphia. So a busy stretch for Sporting continues. They got to look, this was a really tough one last night. I mean, like I said, when you're 20 seconds away from getting a result on the road against a really, really good team, by the way. We got to point that out when we talk about what Sporting did wrong. LAFC is a good team. They thought they had a result. It got yanked away from them, or they gave it away, whatever you want to call it, at the very, very end. So that's a tough one, but not really any time to pout about it because they're back at it on Wednesday night.
Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star is our guest. All right, Sam, a huge night in the Big 12 tonight that will help decide who is going to be the Big 12 champ. So tonight, on Big Monday, both games of huge importance to the race. Texas at Texas Tech, Kansas State at TCU. Both those games tip at 8 o'clock, and then tomorrow at 8 o'clock, Kansas at Oklahoma. So this is what we've been waiting for. What a great couple of games tonight starting at the same time. And so no commercials for anyone. Just flip back and forth and find the action. Man, let's get to it. We can talk about what happened over the weekend, but it really doesn't matter because everything is right in front of Kansas State. And we've said earlier, I said this earlier, I know they still have to play a home game against Oklahoma, but if K-State wins at TCU tonight, they get at least a share of the Big 12 title, and they end KU's streak, because I just don't think they're going to lose at home on Senior Day to the Oklahoma Sooners. This is a gigantic game for everyone involved tonight, Kansas State at TCU.
Yeah, I mean, they got to do this, too. You know, they've got it on their racket. You know, they've got the team. This is the situation that you've been working for the whole year. And I get that it's on the road, but TCU, I don't know. I guess I'm not.
What did Texas Tech do on Saturday? Yeah, do what they did, and you got it.
It feels like TCU is fading a little bit. I know they had the win against Iowa State. What was that, like a week and a half ago, something like that. But I'm looking at their schedule here. I mean, they've won one game since February 9th.
They lost at home to Oklahoma. They lost at Oklahoma State. They lost at West Virginia in triple overtime. They've lost to teams at the very bottom of the Big 12 Conference when they have been battling for an NCAA tournament.
Yeah. So maybe you get that bounce back, that desperation. That can be a valuable thing. But that can't be an excuse for K-State.
Are you surprised that Joe Lunardi has TCU right now as an 11 seed in his bracketology?
Yeah, like two different ways to look at it. Like, yes, absolutely. Like, that's not a tournament team when I watch them. But the other thing is, you got to find 68 teams. And I don't think there's that many good college basketball teams.
But Jamie Dixon sell that tonight to a team like, hey,
totally.
Everything gets happened.
Yeah.
They still consider us a tournament team. And if we win tonight, we are in the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, I think you still need to do something else. That'd be a great win for them.
But just to motivate them tonight.
I get it. Yes, absolutely. They'd still need another win, maybe in the Big 12 tournament to feel good about it. But, yeah, I mean, there's some really mediocre teams. This happens every year. But it feels like this year especially, there's some mediocre teams that are gonna be in the tournament. It seems like for a while, like Oklahoma, and we've been here before with Oklahoma, but doing everything they can not to make
and
the tournament.
They're still just, in.
Yeah.
So what home team has a better chance of winning tonight or tomorrow night? Is it TCU at home against Kansas State or Oklahoma at home against Kansas?
Because
Oklahoma and TCU are pretty much in the same boat.
Yeah, they are. Gosh, I dang it!
If you had to take it until
right now. So you're asking me if Oklahoma or TCU has a better chance of winning?
If you had to pick one. With confidence, you have to. Which one would you pick?
I think I would take TCU.
Well, you have to factor in the opponent, don't you? I mean, you know, K-State's been better on the road this year than KU has, haven't they?
Well, sure. Absolutely.
They're both coin flip games. I do think we're splitting hairs a little bit. But, yeah, I think I would take TCU.
Do you think Oklahoma's better than TCU?
No. I think TCU is probably better.
And do you think Kansas State? I know K-State's probably going to win the league, but do you think they're a better? Which team do you think is better, Kansas or Kansas State, right now?
I think Kansas State. I think Kansas State is a better team.
And of course, bracketology has what? Nate Buchady. Kansas is a 3 seed, and what's K-State?
6
stupid,
seed.
Stupid.
Yeah. I mean the difference, like. Kansas has the name brand and all that stuff, but I just that trio of seniors and Xavier Sneed, that's a tough group, man. That is a resilient group.
And Kansas at Oklahoma State, that was a fight to the death.
Yes,
and they damn near lost. They were down 3 late.
Yep. You know, Devon Dotson has come around. Like, not come around. That makes it sound like it's been in the last week, which is kind of Quentin Grimes, right? Devon Dotson is a really, really good player, but I think Barry Brown is the best player on the floor. You know, when those teams are going against each other. I keep thinking there's so much on the line for K-State in this season and in this week. You know, like just historically and what this means to their coach, what this means to the fan base. This is really important for them.
Before I forget, can I ask you guys what? And it, boy, they got lucky because Lindy Waters, hit four threes in the final 55 seconds of the game before.
Yeah,
what defense was that? What was going on there? I mean, can you imagine if he'd have made that shot? Bill Self's head would have exploded.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the defender ran away from Lindy Waters.
Yeah, that was
like he was allergic to him.
right. It was like, remember when D Ford of that running play against the 49ers? It was like a little bit.
I didn't like it. It was almost like it was. He was so startled by it, and if you look at the fans in the background, like, oh, yeah. And then it was just like he was too wide open. Like,
yeah.
Man, someone put a hand in my face or something.
Right.
Like, what?
Right.
What? You don't see, you never see that, especially from a Bill Self coached basketball. They got away from it, but no one's going to, we would have talked about it all day. Yeah,
yes.
they got away with it. But
yeah.
I had to watch, like, what happened?
I know, like, watch it. Yeah, it looked like an optical illusion or something. You know,
right?
I'll tell you what happened.
Oh, boy.
A freshman who's played, what, like 16 games of his entire college career was guarding him. And your head is swimming when you're a freshman. And that's why K-State has such an advantage over KU this year. They've got three senior leaders out there who know, like, the back of their hand what they're supposed to do. And, you know, Abaji's been awesome for KU. I love the kid. I mean, he brings energy. He brings confidence. He's not afraid to shoot big shots. But he brain farted there for a second. And you know what? Like, there's a reason the old adage is the best thing about freshmen is that they become sophomores. That's the kind of stuff that happens when you got freshmen on the court. And that's why K-State's been able to close out games on the road that Kansas hasn't been able to close out. And that's why Kansas State controls their own destiny. And why I'm with Sam that you trust them to go on the road with everything on the line tonight. You trust them to go get the job done and win the game because they have those senior leaders. And that's what makes them different.
Here is a very good tweet that also makes me sad, but you must credit Nathan the Constructor with pointing out that it looked like KU was covering a two-point conversion attempt by the Chargers. You know, I don't need to hear that now.
Wow.
I don't need that from you, Nathan the Constructor.
No.
Does Bob Sutton draw up the Jayhawk defense on that last play?
Bob Sutton's something like, hey, good defense, fellas. All right. Man. See, you scared him into
well
missing. Attaboy.
Bob's been through enough, you guys.
Hasn't he? Well, you know what? He landed on his feet in Atlanta.
He's been through enough.
Atlanta.
You put him through a lot of that.
Right. Yeah, boy,
you
that's
put him
right.
Through a lot of that.
That's
hey guys,
right.
Oh, now see him sympathetic.
Take it easy on that's him. Like, he's been through a lot. Hey,
that's like the cop that's right. Been interrogating the guy for like 2 days and just putting him through everything. I go, he's been through enough. Well, thanks, Sam, for realizing that now. I bet Bob Sutton, like, I wish you'd have said that 5 months ago. You hey,
you use the word juice. It's one of my favorite words.
I know I got something right. We think a lot alike, don't we?
It's bad for me.
Yeah. Well, damn. It's Christmas holidays. I mean, damn. Man. Okay, no, that's all right.
You have.
You're right. He has been through a lot.
Right.
You have this edge
Bob
to you.
Been through a lot, guys. Leave him alone.
You've got an edge to you that just people don't see coming. That's the packaging.
Man.
You're so presentable and polite, and you're a good guy. But boy, when the daggers come out, they're so sharp. That's the thing.
I got to point this out.
I respect it.
I meant to say bad for you.
I don't think, did you?
Well, we think a lot alike, don't we?
It's bad for me.
Yeah.
He knew it, yeah.
Luckily for us, Sam, you're the only one of us that's made a mistake around here. So we rub that in your face.
But the difference is everyone was listening.
You're the
like
only
Sam,
one of us that's made a dumb
mistake. Yeah, but everyone universally was like, that's right, Sam. Yeah. All right, you're the best.
I've never.
You know?
You've never really listened to that, have you?
I've never received more just like unwanted attaboys than right after that.
And like, no, huh?
My buddy Sam, he gets,
not attaboy.
I like that guy, Mellinger. I like the way he talks. Like my dad's, like, he, I like that. He just
cuts to the point.
Yeah. He tells it like it is.
Doesn't hold any punches.
You made everyone's angry dad so happy when you did that.
That's right.
You know, somewhere Stevie Buchanan. Uh-huh. Yeah, go on, Mellinger.
Bad for me.
Let's take a break and see if Sam can bounce back from that one. I tell you, it's the do-rag. Look at him, boy.
You had that quick, by the way.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Okay. Stuff that kind of scare you?
Stuff that we want. I can't find it. We may or may not get it this week. If it's something you really don't want to hear, hey, look what I got right here.
I told you. Boom. I warned you guys at the beginning of this segment. What'd I say? I'm actually going to pay attention this hour.
Oh, geez. Normally, that would be good for a producer to do that. Not the case right now. We'll take a break. More from Sam Mellinger after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So let's get this straight now. Do you believe, Sam Mellinger, that Kansas State will win at TCU tonight?
I do.
What kind of shot do you give Texas at, as we said earlier, pulling off a shaka?
Not much, man.
In Lubbock.
Not much. I think Tech is really good. I saw that game. Sorry, I didn't wait for the... my bad, Jake.
Timing's everything, Sam.
I know. I think Texas is... Dang it! Are you done?
Don't encourage him.
Are you done?
Are you?
You think that...
I think Texas is fading. Texas is really good.
Sorry. Oh, stop me.
Okay. So you're giving Texas no...
I mean, I would think Tech is a, I don't know, 70-80% on that. Something like that.
And again, I've said this. I'm not against anyone. I am for Patrick Mahomes II. And he loves basketball. He loves Texas Tech. And if them winning the Big 12 sparks joy in my quarterback, let's go. Let's go.
You don't think that could be like a productive, you know, chip on the shoulder, like a little anger?
I don't know. He's done so much for Kansas City and done so much for us. Isn't it time we give back just a little bit?
Does seem like he's done so with joy.
And then tomorrow night, Kansas at Oklahoma.
Both those games. I mean, I think K-State... You know, if you're going to force me to pick one, I'm going to take the better team, and I think they're the better team, even though they're on the road. But that's closer to a coin flip, and I guess I feel kind of the same way about KU and Oklahoma. I mean that's a game Kansas should win. You know, especially if you believe in, especially if you've been around Kansas City for the last 14 years, and you've seen Kansas do this stuff over and over and over again. I think that's a game that you expect them to win. You know, like I would think that if you hate KU, I would think that you think KU's going to win that 80%. You know what I mean? Just because you've seen this show so many times. And I feel like if you're a huge KU fan.
I thought you were going to say something besides show. I was going to say, yeah, I have seen this show. I mean,
if you're a huge KU fan, you might be a little bit nervous about it. You know, just because of you want to keep this thing going or whatever. But they should win. They're the better team. You know, Oklahoma, they get up for that game, I guess. But, God, that place, that building is dead every other game of the year. You know, that's one of those.
I feel like they're probably one of the top five, top six atmospheres in college basketball at the Lloyd Noble Center.
Do you really?
No.
Yeah.
Like in what way?
top five if you're the opposition and you want to get tickets.
Right, yeah.
So you can just go right in there.
In no way.
Okay, so let's move on. We're running out of time, so let's move on to some other topics. So this is, okay, let's see how well you know me.
Okay.
When I first read of the tweets about Salvador Perez's elbow, did I have tears in my eyes? Yes or no?
I would think yes.
Correct. Didn't cry, but just it. You know,
welled up.
Very emotional. I'm an emotional guy.
Yeah.
I've expressed how that just takes all the wind out of my sails, and whatever I hoped for the Royals to do this year, they cannot do without Salvador Perez. Nate, I think agreed. Jake, I think Jake's trying to talk himself down from a ledge because he loves Salvi as much as I do, and he's trying to talk himself into accepting this. And he's
going to be for the good.
They're hoping for second opinions and that maybe he'll play through it. He's going to see Neil Elatrash, and you don't come back from that.
Nope.
Well, he said, I'm good to go. Let's play.
Second opinion play is too. All good.
How devastating is this, not only for me? I know you want to focus on me, but let's talk more about the Royals. How devastating is this for the Royals?
I mean, it's not how you want to start the season, right?
You know what? That's right. Good point.
It
you
certainly know, is.
This guy.
Like, yeah. But no.
Get your hot takes here. Fresh hot takes
you know
for
what?
Sale.
It's really not how you want to start the season.
It's not what you want.
That no, needs to be not. A headline. That not. Needs to be on the crawl on SportsCenter. Local columnist says this is not what you want to do to start the season.
Not what you come to the ballpark to see. But
this is not.
The thing is, like, does it make that big of a difference? You know, are they going to win 70 instead of 73? Are they going to win 68 instead of 71? You know, like,
what did
it's
you
just
think they were going to win?
About 72.
Then they'll win 62.
I don't think it's that much of a difference.
I hope not.
You know,
I just remember how they started off when he was carrying luggage and hurt himself, and they looked like, you know.
Yeah. I'm probably overthinking this, but the part that matters the more in sort of the bigger picture is him working with the pitchers.
Yes.
Because, you know, God bless Cam Gallagher.
Or Martin Maldonado, who might be the free agent they acquire.
I think that would be a good signing, by the way. Because of defensively, because he can handle pitchers and help you out defensively.
2017 Gold Glove winner.
Yeah, I don't care about the then you would have on your payroll every American League Gold Glove winner of the last, what, 5 years or 6 years?
Beat that, baseball.
You know, so that part of it hurts of, you know, working with the pitchers and any improvement and all that stuff. But I don't, you know, Sal is much better behind the plate than he is sort of in meetings and stuff like that. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
when they're putting together game plans, I don't know that there's going to be that much lost with the pitchers. But when they're on the mound, and, you know, I do believe in, as much as I love, you know, metrics and all that stuff, I do believe in the old school scout stuff enough to believe, you know, that energy, that presence, all that stuff does matter as well. That will be missed from, you know, Jacob Junis's development, you know, Richard Lovelady when he comes up. Like, you know, this next wave of the guys that you expect to be there in 3 years, 4 years or whatever, that will be missed, but... Look, if you could choose, you'd rather have them hurt now than 2021, right? Like when they may be a little bit closer to doing something. It sucks, but it's not devastating, I guess is how I put it.
I just like to watch Salvi play baseball.
I get it. You'd rather have him hurt than Mondesi. That's a fact.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry for your tears.
I don't, you know. I just love Salvi.
Yeah.
And I haven't totally bought into the Mondesi hype train yet. So
yeah,
I'm a little bit more wait and see on that one.
I'm on that train.
Are you like all the way?
I think he's going to be one of the best five shortstops in the American League this year. Dude, where does that put me?
Wait a minute, them's fighting words.
I believe that.
All of a sudden, you are talking Stephen into overbidding on. Adibilto Mondesi.
Not available in my league, smart ass.
It's taken a long time ago. He's been in someone's minors.
They would have to walk me out of that auction if he was available. I mean, you know, and also, a lot of the things that I say on this show, I'm trying to talk myself down.
Calm yourself down. Because,
you know,
I get it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I at one point in the offseason, I declared my. I'm not even going to talk about it.
Because, like,
you think top five, really? I mean, I love your.
I think he's gonna have a jump. And look, like he wouldn't be the first guy to have, you know, to be hyped and then come up and finally have a good 3 months or whatever it was. It was basically almost exactly half a season. You know, he wouldn't be the first guy to have a good 80 games and then fall off. And, you know, there's some stuff there that you might be concerned with, but he's so talented. And I think that getting a taste of some individual, not team, but individual success, I think is going to buoy him. You know, I wonder about his injuries. You know, I think that's still a concern. I think he got over a little mental thing of being able to play through some stuff. But, you know, this isn't Cal Ripken. So I don't know how many games you're going to get out of him. But he is so talented. And he finally had some success. He's got power on both sides. He can run like hell. His plate discipline is atrocious. You know, like that's the thing that would sink him. But he's so talented. He is so talented.
Do you like him? It seems like you do.
As a player, I thought you were talking about him like as a guy. I don't know him. No. I don't know him that well. But yeah, I think he's so talented.
Well, Jake really got a kick out of that one. You are paying attention. You heard something and laughed when it was appropriate. That's Nate funny. McKinney, any comments on the Royals before we break?
Bill James agrees with Sam on that Mondesi take. I saw him. He basically put out like a Twitter poll as to where Mondesi will rank, and his prediction was, yeah, one of the five best shortstops in the game. I think
no, in the game or in Major League Baseball?
Whoa. I'm sorry. I can't remember if he said Major League Baseball or the American League.
Whoa,
maybe he
Nelly.
Did just say American League. Now I need to go back and look.
Well, there is a difference there, friends. No, that's
yeah,
what he
like
said.
15 whole teams.
I need to hear about that. Is that what's being said?
Nate doesn't know.
Man. Major League, he did.
I thought that's what he said.
I looked it up. In my opinion, he's unlikely to be number one. He's talking about shortstops, but more likely than not to be top five. Kind of depends on how soon he gets past the struggling. Thinks he can hit anything phase. I'd rather have him than Correa or Story. I don't know about that. I have a crush on Carlos Correa.
No, I would not incredible. Rather have him than Carlos Correa.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. When I say
Bill
top
James,
five,
guys.
Correa,
he wrote a book.
He's old.
I don't care who the hell it is.
He's old.
When I say top five, I'm definitely thinking Correa and Lindor are two of the four. You know what I mean? But he's really good, you guys. I mean, he's...
No, he's really
his
good.
Tools like, his tools are incredible. His tools are incredible.
He just... I don't know if this is what Bill's talking about with the struggling, thinks he can hit anything phase, but it's plate discipline. If he can swing at strikes, he's got MVP talent. You know, he's got that kind of ceiling if he can swing at strikes. But when it's sliders in the dirt, that's going to hold him back a little bit.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll finish up a little sprinkle of Chiefs talk there for Sam Ellinger on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Welcome back to the show. Now, I want everyone to listen to this, and I want everyone's reaction to this. Because, who wants to be titillated right now?
Me.
Nate, you in on this?
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay. Sam? May I mention an article?
Thumbs
oh, he,
up.
We know that's a,
yeah,
a
given.
NJ.com. NJ stands for New Jersey. Ryan Dunleavy. Is anyone aware of this gentleman at all?
Is he related to Mike?
That I don't know, but he's the Giants beat reporter for the Star Ledger.
Probably not.
Former Rutgers writer, and he's seen all 156 episodes of The Twilight Zone, according to his Twitter bio.
Loser.
He writes this in the Star Ledger. Giants possible trade with Chiefs. Landon Collins for Dee Ford sounds like video game, but makes sense. The Chiefs place a franchise tag on Dee Ford, but are listening to trade offers because he's not an ideal fit for the new defense. According to Adam Schefter, the Giants should call, and they should offer Landon Collins on a franchise tag in return. Collins, 25 years old, is a three-time Pro Bowler whose best play came under Steve Spagnuolo, who's now the Chiefs defensive coordinator. Ford, 27 years old, coming off his first Pro Bowl season and is a better match for the Giants' 3-4 scheme. And if the Giants put the franchise tag on Collins, his number would be $11.15 million versus $15.4 million for Ford. So it would save the Chiefs some money, honey. Sam Ellinger, do you like?
I probably value Dee Ford higher than most. I wouldn't do that trade unless it also came with a pick.
What kind of pick?
Second, third round, which I don't think the Giants would do, first of all. But I just, pass rushers are so much more important than safeties. I understand. I watched the games just like we all did, right? I understand the problems that the Chiefs had at that position. But I think if you take away Dee Ford, I think you create a bunch of other problems that they are not currently constructed to absorb. I would be shopping, and look, I think there's a difference. There's a key difference. It may sound like semantics to a lot of people, but there's a key difference between shopping and listening. I think they should listen on Dee Ford. I think they should listen on everybody, except for the quarterback. but, you know, and I think maybe they're more shopping Justin Houston? And if so, I think that's the right move. I'm not as high as most people on Justin Houston. I think that he's on the wrong side of it.
I would rather keep D Ford than Justin Houston.
Yes.
I totally agree with you on that. He also mentions in this article that the Chiefs had inquired about trading for Landon Collins during the season.
Yeah.
In October, but the Giants decided not to move him.
Yep.
Because they decided not to acquire a mid-round draft pick for Collins. But boy, that seems... maybe they should have.
Yes. Right. I think that was a mistake by the Giants. The Chiefs have liked Landon. You know, that's all true. They've liked Landon Collins.
And you've got his old defensive coordinator now. It's perfect.
Yeah.
But if they don't franchise him, he's an unrestricted free agent, right? I mean, his contract's up.
Right, yeah, correct. But then they won't get anything for him.
Right. So, I mean, are they willing to take that risk and put $11 million, that number is huge.
I'd be ready to pay for that safety $11 million in a heartbeat.
Then you're paying 24 or whatever on your safety. I don't know, man. Like, it's just...
$11 million for safety is just too much, in my opinion.
I don't want to keep my pass rushers, you know? Like, that's where my head would be at.
Nate Bucchetti.
Counterpoint to that is $11 million for a guy that will play every snap for you as opposed to $15 million for a guy who might only play on passing downs in this scheme.
Listen to Nate make points.
That's what I go back to.
That you're guessing that he won't play every down for this new system.
I'm making a very educated guess.
Okay, but you're still guessing.
Yeah, it's a guess. It's a very educated guess, though. I'm not just throwing crap up against the wall to see if it sticks.
Have you talked to Spags by any chance?
I have not talked to Spags.
So. It's not very educated then.
Oh, there's other people.
There are other people that work for the Chiefs and in the NFL.
I feel like we could get to the name here. Who is it?
That's why. Prove it. Look, that's why I know you like to tease me that I'm trying to run D Ford out of town. Well, I'm not trying to run D Ford out of town.
Yeah, I don't think it's this.
Sounds
kinda
like it to me.
Common knowledge.
I'm not trying to run D Ford out of town. I like D Ford quite a bit, the guy, and I do think he is a very good pass rusher. I guess right now I'm rooting for my prediction, damn it. You know, I want my prediction to come true. I just thought as soon as they brought in Spags and talking to some people that, you know, the initial reaction is he's probably not an every down player in that scheme, and $15 million is a lot of resources to tie up in a guy that's not an every down player. Now, maybe he'll look at it and say, you know what, I can figure out a way around this, and we can cover some of his weaknesses in the run game and stuff, and so we can still play him every down. They are at least exploring the possibility of trading him, but it might come down to which guy they can get the most for. If you can get a Pro Bowl safety, and I this is the thing I keep going back to, too, guys, is I'm trying to put two and two together in terms of what the people in charge of making these decisions, what their biases are. And I don't think there is a bias for D Ford by Brett Veach or Spagnuolo. I think there is a bias for Landon Collins with Spagnuolo because he played really well for him. I think there's a bias for Breland Speaks for Brett Veach because he drafted him. And I think you can't discount the biases of the people that are involved in making decisions at any time, and that's part of the thing I'm thinking about as well.
Or you could just say that Andy Reid's been making the decisions all along, and so they're all his players. Sam, what would it take for you to trade Justin Houston? What pick? What type of compensation?
Mine would be much lower on that because that comes with $14 million of space. So, a fourth, a fifth,
So a fourth, a fifth?
I'd be open to that.
Someone taking on the money, give us any third day pick?
I would, yep.
What would it take? Because, like Nate said, they're at least going to listen to see what they could get. What would it take for you to go ahead and pull the trigger on a D Ford trade?
Collins and a pick higher than the fourth round.
What if it's not? If it's just someone else offering draft picks? What type of draft pick would it take to trade
him? I'd want a first round pick.
Do you think that's possible?
I would if I'm running a team like you're going to give up a first round pick for a guy. On a, basically like a 1 year, what is it, 15.4, I think is the number on the franchise.
John Gruden on line four.
Yeah, right. They're going to take DK Metcalf. They're going to trade up for that guy, by the way. you know, and then after that, you got to give him 5 years, $90 million or something like that. I wouldn't give up a first round pick for that.
Now listen to me. I know you're very edgy today.
Let's
now we're gonna have this little thing called the Border Patrol crossover.
Okay.
On the other side of that door,
yeah,
is a guy by the name of Rustin Dodd.
Uh oh.
Do I have to walk you out? Do I have to stand between you guys?
I despise Rustin. You know that,
Jake. Keep Rustin in the green room.
I'm sending Rustin to go get coffee.
Keep him in the green room.
I do not want any fighting in this building.
Until Sam Mellinger is cleared from the premises.
We'll have Sam escorted
back
out.
In the day, this is like what Johnny Carson used to have to deal with. We'd have, you know,
right.
Have Ed, leave, Ed McMahon.
There he goes.
Rustin, don't look in here.
Hold me back.
Son of a. Thank you, Sam Mellinger.
All right, thanks, guys.
We appreciate Sam Mellinger coming in. And look at Todd's got a big cup of coffee and a hat on. He's taunting people because he knows Oklahoma is relevant right now in basketball for just a week. Everything's happening right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB.